the show must go on. That's been the attitude of workplaces and employers for more than a year as we've gone through a worldwide health crisis. Many people have worked the whole time with little to no change in workload and productivity. But now that summer's here, a summer when mask orders are lifting in many parts of the state, vaccinations are making some people feel safer, and outdoor dining and gathering seeing a sharp uptick, I mean, it's hard not to want to slow down on the work, maybe just a little. So do you want to ease up? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Would you like to see some kind of summer break from work after making it through 15 months of isolation? The number is 800-642-1234. You can call us or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Charlie Warzel writes Galaxy Brain, a newsletter about tech and culture. He previously wrote for the New York Times Opinion, and he last month wrote a newsletter titled It's Time for a Summer Slowdown. Charlie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
You wrote about how in any year, even setting COVID aside, we see a pattern in productivity levels as employees transition to summer months. What does that look like?
Well, every summer there's this. I would say it's a bit of a manufactured panic or concern that usually only shows up in a lot of the business trade papers or things like that, magazines like Inc. or Forbes, and it's about this idea of a summer slowdown and that people are going to take their foot off the gas, put their foot on the brakes a little bit and go, you know, spend time with family, take some vacations, and that. You know, a large part of the workforce is going to do that altogether. And this is framed a lot of times as worrisome, right, for the business. It's a productivity halt. It's concerning in some way. And this year we haven't heard quite as much about it, but we're watching a lot of, you know, corporations say, let's not take our eye off the ball here. It's time to get back to work. And that really sort of means coming back to the office as more and more spaces are opening up. And so you're sort of seeing this fear of a summer slowdown this time be ameliorated by companies by wanting to kind of bring them back in.
And I imagine some employees are sitting here thinking, read the room. Like, it's been a really hard time. And to tell us not to take our foot off the gas now when it's getting beautiful outside and when it's been really, really tough. How is that landing with employees? How did they see the summer slowdown?
Well, it's landing terribly, and it's actually the reason why I wrote the piece that I wrote, which was actually arguing for us to not just, you know, tolerate a summer slowdown but embrace it. But what we're seeing is somewhat of the opposite, right? Employers are a little worried, and employees are not having it. They're frustrated. There's a lot of resentment that's been built up, as you said in the intro there, of, you know, laboring through 15, 16 months of complete isolation while homeschooling kids, while hiding from a deadly virus. And they have shown in almost every industry that not only are they just getting the job done, productivity is you know, where it was before. It's in some cases it's higher. And so I think there's this feeling that that workers are owed something for kind of, you know, bucking up and really, you know, following through during this difficult time.
What about employers who say, you know, yes, employees have really stepped up to the plate, but so have we. We've changed our processes. We've helped people work from places that they felt better. Do businesses or people running those businesses think that, you know, they've also contributed enough and they've sacrificed enough and now it's time to that sort of back to normal that you mentioned?
I think everyone has sacrificed, and this isn't to say that if you run a company that you haven't had extraordinary difficulties too, if you're a manager in charge of people, but I think it misses the larger picture, and I think it's that idea of normal that you just mentioned that is really tricky. It's sticky for a lot of people. You know, the pandemic was a lot of things, but one of the things that was an opportunity for people to reflect on both, you know, the very abnormal state of affairs over the last 16 months, but also, you know, what was quote unquote normal beforehand. And I think there's a lot of reexamination that's gone on in many people's lives, many people saying to themselves, you know, normal wasn't actually so good for me. Normal was actually very stressful. It was very hard. I was burned out then too. And I think a lot of people are seeing this as an inflection point. This is a point in time where there's a little bit of leverage to say, hey, we don't have to do things the way that we always did them just because. And so I think employers who are just, you know, kind of looking to go back to that safe status quo, I think they're missing what employees are seeing, which is that this is a flexible kind of plastic moment here to reimagine the way that we do business and try to find a way to make it, you know, more livable for everyone.
Charlie Warzel writes a newsletter about tech and culture. He argues it's time to intentionally slow down for the summer. What do you think? 800-642-1234. You can join the conversation on the phone. If you're an employer, do you notice a slight slowdown in productivity in your workers in the warmer months? How do you account for that, or do you embrace it? Have you given thought to more vacation time or occasional Fridays off this summer if you're working? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Charlie, I want to talk about time off and how employers have handled work-life balance. In your piece, you mentioned this phrase, feel free to take some time if you need it. There's a lot there in those few words.
Sure. This is something that my co-author and my partner on this forthcoming book that we have about the future of work and remote work. This is her phrase, and this, you know, feel free to take some time if you need it, is essentially, as she puts it, and as I agree, a bit of a trap, right? It is fundamentally a sorting question. She says, are you someone who needs to take that time, or are you someone who can, you know, just ignore that and work really hard? This idea that, you know, overwork is to some degree a virtue, and this feel free to take time if you need it is a cop out. It's this way that you know, organizations get to have it both ways. They get to pretend like they are on your side while also, you know, not really putting your foot down and telling you to actually take the time and not modeling that behavior. And that modeling of good, you know, work-life balance is something that executives and managers really need to perform in order to make everyone else feel comfortable with actually taking the time.
Explain then the difference between boundaries that are on the responsibility of the employee and what employers can do.
Absolutely. So, you know, the boundaries are a good way to think about this as a bit of a metaphor. As a boundary is, you know, it's a border on a map, right? When you cross the border over from where you guys are into you know, Minnesota, or, you know, if you go where I am in Montana into Wyoming, you know, you don't, it's just a, it's sort of a, it's a malleable thing. But and that's a little bit what a lot of our boundaries are in work-life balance, right? It's sort of saying, hey, you know, this is, it's the take some time if you want it. But what is needed is something more structural, something like guardrails, right? Guardrails are not visible, you know, lines of demarcation. They are physical things. You hit the guardrail, you're going to bounce off. And that's what's needed in the workplace is structural systems that need to come into place to, you know, actually give people, you know, some help in their working lives. And so a good example of a guardrail there is mandated time that you have to take off. You know, a lot of employers give time off, and if it's not used, it just kind of recycles itself. It sets back to zero. And those types of systems are actually in place to make sure that they're not used as much. And so what's really needed is for businesses, for employers to actually rethink and try to figure out ways to you know, force employees to look after themselves. Because the way that things are set up now, you know, with focuses on competition and growth, a lot of times, you know, the businesses don't have time to look out for their employees in that way.
Charlie Warzel writes Galaxy Brain, a newsletter about tech and culture. I previously wrote for the New York Times Opinion. We're talking about the summer slowdown. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does the idea of a summer slowdown or a break appeal to you? What would you like to see companies do to support that? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. This conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Our guest says workers and companies should adjust their attitudes about taking more time off the clock in the summertime. We are talking about it here on Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guest is Charlie Warzel. He writes Galaxy Brain. It's a newsletter about tech and culture. And he recently wrote about the summer slowdown and worker productivity in the warmer months. And your calls are welcome here on the Ideas Network. You can use 800-642-1234. Maybe you're an employer or a manager. Have you considered giving employees more time off during the summer? Or how do you cope with a productivity slowdown? 800-642-1234. Still time for your call at that number. Charlie, we've talked on the past on this show about burnout, especially pandemic-related burnout and fatigue. What is your sense of how workers are feeling right now?
The sense that we've gotten, reporting our book and then also anecdotally having conversations with hundreds of people across the country right now, it's a pretty dire situation, honestly. People are, I think, really, really spread thin. They are, as I said earlier, there's a lot of resentment that is built up for having to, just work through this very difficult period. And I think a lot of people, processing, pandemic-related trauma, mourning losses in their families, or just simply, having to deal with not being able to really go and interact in public in the way that they wanted to for such a long period of time. All of that together has created a real disengagement. Global workplace surveys are showing that people are disengaged at record numbers at work. Very few people are reporting that they're positively engaged in their jobs. There's a lot of worker turnover that is happening even throughout the pandemic. And I think that people are just, they're spread very thin, and they're starting to question the way that things are done. We've seen a number of instances where companies have said they want to go back into the office this summer, and they're mandating that their employees go back in the office. And people are quitting on the spot, just saying no, thank you, and opting to go somewhere else. And I think that some of that too is for people who are lucky enough to have jobs throughout the pandemic. There was a lot of savings that people accumulated from not going out, or from also collecting stimulus benefits from the government. And so there's for the first time, a lot of people who have been in this precarious situation and also have that privilege of being a knowledge worker are saying, well, I have a little bit of freedom right now, and I'm not going to just sit there and take this. And I think that that's something that a lot of companies are starting, somewhat slowly to realize, which is that workers have a little bit of power right now that they didn't quite have about 18 months ago.
You posted about this on Twitter, and you asked people what people would like companies to do to give some workers a break this summer. What kinds of things did you hear?
Quite a bit. People were pretty creative about what they wanted for a summer slowdown. The biggest requests were, more paid time off, higher salaries. Summer Fridays were very popular. But there's also this idea of, again, these sort of these structural guardrails, which is, strict encouragement of limited, time off. There were, requests for stipends for childcare, because the school year is about to end for so many people. And, they've been, with their kids in their homes for, the last almost 2 years. There are proposals for stipends for dinners, so employees don't have to necessarily cook after a full day of work, allowances for apartment or house cleaning services, sort of a rethinking of the standard perks. And then there's obviously, bolstered mental health perks, things like that. Some of the interesting ones as it pertains to summer that I thought were sort of this a modified system in which most of the company tries to take 1 week off together. And that's to sort of eliminate this thing that happens when people go on vacation and the whole company's working without you and you come back to a huge stack of work and your reentry is really difficult. And it's this idea that maybe if we all take this time together, we can really truly relax and not worry, you know, about work piling up around us or getting interrupted during our time off so we can truly recharge.
Charlie Warzel is our guest. He writes a newsletter about tech and culture. And we are taking your calls about the idea of productivity in the summer, especially this summer, but always, and how workers and their managers, their bosses, see the difference. You're listening here on the Ideas Network. And we've got Ethel from Green Bay ready to join the conversation. Hi, Ethel.
Hi. Yes, my husband owned a business, and he believed that the employees should be very important people in the company and not just they just come in and work for you. And he always felt that what you give to them, you get from them. And so if he had issues that like certain things that he wanted to get some answers to, he would talk with his employees and see where they're coming from. And they really felt that he was then giving them some ownership in the company. And I think that's really important.
Ethel, thank you so much for talking about how your husband ran that business. And Charlie, what Ethel's getting at here is workplace culture.
Yeah, I think it's very key. Workplace culture is notoriously difficult to define. It's sort of one of those you know when you see it type things. But it is extremely important. And I would say that what Ethel pointed out there is something we've seen in a lot of our work and reporting, which is that in the long term, the decisions that might seem difficult or scary for a company, as long as they align with what the workers want, ultimately that's good for them in the long term. There's actually a lot of synergies between what's good for a company and what's good for workers, because you do want happy, productive workers. An unhappy worker is notoriously a more expensive worker, a lot of studies have shown. And so I think that this is something that when we're talking about, whether to extend remote work to, out past the pandemic or, to experiment with more flexible schedules, the companies that are hesitant to do this often aren't seeing that it is actually in their long-term interest to have these very open conversations with employees and actually have them feel like they are true stakeholders and in charge of the direction of the company to some extent.
Thanks so much for the call, Ethel. We've got Owen in Wyawega on the line now. Hey, Owen.
Hey, Owen.
Yeah, hey. So, for me, this pandemic started, my workload increased by about 70%. Seemed like I picked up where a lot of other people had just left off, and there's a ton of available work out there. And, that's what Republicans always say. Well, if you're not happy with the minimum wage job you have, work 2-3 jobs. And I was able to do that. And now it seems like there's not any replacements coming back into the labor force. So there's still plenty of work available. So the idea of, I guess you'd have to be some sort of professional working in some sort of specific field. I know I got a lot of friends that are dentists and different, professional occupations that are buried in work as well. So I'd like to know who the people are that are actually entitled or able to find an ability to take time off.
Yeah, Owen, thank you so much for that. Because Charlie, Owen's right. Not every industry, especially as they're staffed now, can handle workers slowing down.
Absolutely. There's an inherent unfairness here that I write about in the piece, which is, that a lot of this pertains to, to knowledge work instead of, frontline service work or healthcare work or care work in general. And there's a real inequity there. And as other people in certain industries take time off, the burden then shifts to a lot of these, say hospitality industry, things like that to, ramp up to support that if a lot of people are going on vacations, say. So there is this real inequity there. And that's really true. In the in our book and in our work, we are focused, you know, on a lot of knowledge work and office work, particularly. But I do think that there is something that we're seeing broadly with this, you know, this being fed up, which is, you know, part of this, you know, quote unquote worker shortage, right? You know, there's a lot of, you know, talking points that, you know, unemployment aid and unemployment insurance are keeping, you know, people from coming out into the workforce. But you're also seeing on the other side that that as, you know, as wages rise from some of these businesses, they're getting many more applicants. So, you know, I think what's actually happening in general is even in service industries, there are people who are really fed up because they've had to work under, you know, these very difficult conditions, essentially hazard pay conditions. They've been, you know, lauded as essential employees, yet they're not treated that way with, you know, time off benefits, with wage increases, et cetera. And so there's this frustration mounting that is actually a little bit similar in some ways to the knowledge worker frustration. And I think broadly, generally speaking, this all comes back to what we talk about a lot in our forthcoming book, which is just a real resentment with, you know, the prominence of work in our lives. This notion that we must work so often and so hard and merge our identities with work almost completely, and that leaves, you know, that leaves out time for hobbies, for family life, for community, for volunteering, whatever it is. And I think that resentment is broadly spread. And the issue right now is that, you know, only a small group of people might actually be able to get that opportunity to recharge or reclaim their lives from work to some degree. And so it's a thorny problem that's not going to be easy to solve.
Yeah. Charlie, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Charlie Warzel writes Galaxy Brain, a newsletter about tech and culture, and he reports for The Washington Post. He previously wrote for The New York Times Opinion. He wrote about the summer slowdown in one of his recent newsletters. We've got a link to that posted at wpr.org/centraltime.